The gist of taqwa, which is God-wariness, God-consciousness, is fulfillment of the commandments and the avoidance of the prohibitions, both inwardly and outwardly. In other words, that fulfilling injunctions has to be an inward experience as well. I'm not just doing it because of Islam. I'm now doing it also because of Iman. And what happens in many religious cultures, and there's certainly one that most people are very familiar with in the Middle East, where outwardly things look like they're running according to Islam, but inwardly there's a very different story. And this happens when you impose an exoteric Islam without concerns for people's internal states. And so you have a religious police that make people pray. Right? And this is very alien to the Islamic tradition. But unfortunately part of the modern Islamic tradition. And then he says, thus its aspects are four in number, inward and outward, obeying and avoiding. And then he says, and this for the salik. Now the salik traditionally in the Sufic terminology was somebody who set out on the path of self-purification. And then he says, now how do you really do this? Lower the gaze from what is forbidden. The eye. The Quran says, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادُ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا. The eye, the ears, and the heart, the human being is responsible for them. That we've been given these gifts and we're responsible to guard them and protect them from things that are, one, things that they should not be involved in, and two, things that will harm the heart. The eyes and the ears are considered the inroads to the heart. And the heart, according to the Muslims, is like a city. And it's protected by the boundaries of the seven limbs. The feet, the hands, the mouth, the ears, the eyes, the stomach, the genitals. That these are the inroads to the corruption of the city. And the city, in its essence, is pure. And that if we do wrong actions, we begin to corrupt the heart. And the Prophet said that there is a black spot on the heart. And some would say this is, you know, similar to the Christian religious idea of original sin. There is an idea in the Islamic tradition that there is within the human being potential for darkness, that there is a black spot on the heart. If one does wrong actions, it begins to grow, right, metaphorically, until the entire spiritual heart becomes black. So there is an idea that the heart can grow black. And this is what you call in our tradition a black-hearted, hard-hearted person. Somebody who's just done so much wrong that the heart has become opaque, that light does not penetrate that type of heart. Many, many people like that in this world, unfortunately.
There are four aspects to it. Four aspects to taqwa. And then he says, وَهِيَ لَسَّارِكْ سُبْرًا مَنْفَعًا, and it is for the person of suluk. It will take them to the paths of benefit. And he says, يَغُضُّ عَنَيْهِ عَنَ الْمَحَارِمِ. The first thing that we learn is that the seven limbs, and he'll go through each one. يَغُضُّ عَنَيْهِ عَنَ الْمَحَارِمِ وَيَكُفُّ سَمْعَهُ عَنَ الْمَآثِمِ كَغِيبَةٍ نَمِيمَةٍ زُورٍ كِذِبٍ وَلِسَانُهُ أَحْرَى بِتَرْكِ مَا جُلِبٍ. That he should يَغُضُّ عَنَيْهِ عَنَ الْمَحَارِمِ. We should lower our gaze from what is haram. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبَصَارِهِمْ. Tell the mu'mineen to lower their gaze. And tell the mu'minat to lower their gaze. This is on the haram. What is ever haram to look at, then we should lower our gaze from it. Because the eye, although the ulama have agreed that the eye is literally not connected to a kabira, that there's no action that the eye can partake in that is connected to a grave wrong action. But, like Ibn Abbas said, لَا صَغِيرَةَ بِالْإِسْتِمْرَارِ. There is no little wrong action with istimrar, with continuity of action. So if the eye is always looking at the haram, that itself becomes a kabira. So the actual, if the eye sees haram occasionally, which is, especially in this country, you're just, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, I mean, we're just surrounded by imbibing the haram, which is a disaster for one's iman. Because they agree also that the asra'u jarihatan ala fasad al-qalb al-ayn, the quickest limb to destroy the heart is the eye itself. This will destroy the heart. And part of it is because visual things are actually more difficult to get out than hearing. You can hear many things, but you'll forget them. You can hear music, but you'll forget it. But I guarantee you, if you've watched films, that you've got those images in your mind right now. I know that everybody in here who's seen films or watched television, you can close your eyes now and imagine a film that you saw, and there's images of the haram that are in your heart. They're there. How do you get rid of that? We shouldn't have looked at it in the first place. Now it's there. What do we do? This is a disaster. And this is what shaitan does. He likes to fill the heart with the haram so there's no room for the halal. Because the haram is a wi'a. And every container has limits. And you have to empty it of the haram and the jahiliyyah before it can be filled with the halal and the nur of Islam. And that's why the Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, the Prophet literally emptied us out of jahiliyyah to fill us up with Islam. So there's an emptying that has to take place before there's a filling. Just like you have to exhale before you can inhale. Just like the heart has to be contracted before it can be expanded. This is the nature of Allah's of creation. The diastolic, the systolic. This is the very nature. The pupil expands in order to take in. And it contracts in order to prevent light from coming in. And this is the nature that Allah has made us on. So contraction and expansion, Allah is Al-Qabid and Al-Basil. He's these two, the expander and the contractor. So the more we expand for shaitan, the more we contract for Iman or for Rahman. The more we expand for the Rahman, the more we contract for shaitan. And this is really the nature of creation. So he's telling us, يَغُضُّ عَيْنَيْهِ عَنِ الْمَحَارِمِ And then, يَكُفُّ سَمْعُهُ عَنِ الْمَآثِمِ He turns away from listening to the haram. So he begins with the eye, because that is the most important organ. And then he goes to the ear. Now the ear is very interesting also. If you look at the eye literally takes in only a linear. We have a basic peripheral vision, but it's limited. We don't see behind it. But if you look at the ear by its nature is circular. It takes in everything around it. And this is why generally in the Quran, Allah begins with إِنَّ سَمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادَ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانُوا عَنْهُ مَسْؤُولًا That the hearing, the sight, and the heart, all of these things the human being is responsible for. We are literally responsible for these things. Why? Because if we allow our ears and our eyes to open up to everything, then the heart is what suffers. So the ear and the eye, which are called mawarid al-ilm and mawarid al-jahl, they're the areas where knowledge comes in, but also where ignorance comes in. And they come in and enter into the container of the heart. And so literally the mu'min is somebody who protects and guards his eyes and his ears in order to protect his heart. They are literally like hudud, like boundaries in which he must defend them. So these are armies that we're to use for Allah to protect the city of the heart, which is the residence of Iman. That is the malik, that is the king, that we should respect and protect. But if we literally open up, like any country that just leaves its borders and anybody can flood in, then this is what happens with the human being. The heart is left unprotected, and literally the armies of jahiliyyah flood into the heart because that's what they want to conquer. And this is what shaitan wants to conquer. He wants to become king of the city of the heart. And this is what Allah is warning us about. He's warning us in the Quran, don't take shaitan as your friend. Don't take shaitan as a nasir. He's khadul, he's gharur, he's deceptive. He will betray us. And this is the nature. So he tells us that we have to protect the ear from what's wrong. And then he gives us the examples. Kaghibatin, namimatin, zurin kithib. Ghiba is, he begins with ghiba. Because ghiba is the most common. This is what most of us, this is what we're dealing with. Muslims have become people that backbite. Yaghtabu ba'dahum ba'da. And Allah says, لَا يَغْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا Don't let one of you backbite another of you. وَلَا يَسْخَرْ مِنْ قَوْمٍ Don't let a group mock another group. Don't let one group mock another group. Don't be people, trivial people, of backbiting and trivial pursuits, these type of things. No, we should be people of depth. And so he's warning us about backbiting. And then he says, namima, because namima literally is that which separates people. It's called ifsad dhat al-bayn. And Islam is based on إصلاح ذات البين. فَأَصْلِحُ بَيْنَ أَخَوَيْكُمْ. Rectify between your two brothers. And then he says, زور. And زور is false witnessing, bearing false witness, which is really, this is a wretched thing. One of the worst things that a human being can do is to bear false witness against other people. And then he ends with كذب, because this, in a sense, is really a generic under which these other things will fall. And كذب is anything that is opposite of the truth, and this is something to be avoided. Neither listening to it, and then he says, لِسَانُهُ أَحْرَى بِتَرْكِ مَا جُلِبْ. It's even more important not to listen to these things, but not to speak them yourself. In other words, don't become vesicles whereby people pour this poison into you, but don't yourselves pour it into other people. Because it's actually worse to be the one who is pouring this foulness into others than to be the one receiving it. وَكِدَهُمَ شَرٌّ. And both of them have evil. Both are evil states.